Luke chapter 15, verse number 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the wonderful truth before us tonight, that we have a Savior who seeks and saves the lost. And so, Lord, as we learn of the heart of the shepherd tonight, I pray that we too would have that same heart, that same desire for the lost all around us. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the text tonight, Jesus is surrounded by publicans and sinners. Not Republicans and sinners, though they are sinners too, but he's surrounded by publicans and sinners. And these were the tax collectors. They were hated in society of the first century. And in fact, as he's surrounded by them, the Pharisees murmur at his being there. In fact, notice it says in verse 2, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And we should never be in a situation where it would look like we're condoning wrong jokes or alcohol consumption, or where we're in a situation where people would perhaps misunderstand our testimony. But Jesus does teach us you're not going to see people saved if you're not willing to be friends with sinners. If you're not willing to get to know others, how can we ever tell them about Jesus? Of course, the Pharisees murmured at that. They would have been in this morning's message over here on that legalistic side, and they always had to judge people, even judging Jesus Christ himself. But you see, Jesus views mankind as his flock and every human being as a candidate for his rescue. Jesus doesn't see people in the light of, well, that person has done something bad, therefore I can't reach out to them or be their friend. By the way, how many of you are thankful that Jesus cares and desires that every sinner would be saved? How many of you are thankful for that? That's his desire, that everyone would be saved. And so he looks at his detractors, and I love this about Jesus too. He's never going to back away. He's not going to argue or fight, but in love, he looks at these men and he says to them, "What man of you?" He looks them right in the eye and says, essentially, how would you handle this? Which one of you, if you had a lost lamb, wouldn't care to go and reach them? I want to give you three thoughts tonight about the heart of our shepherd for his lost flock. About the heart of our shepherd for the lost and dying world. In just a few minutes, we're going to go with our classes, and we're going to talk, and you're going to be asked to give maybe some names to put on a prayer list, and we're going to talk about the essence of soul winning and reaching others. But really, before we do that, we just want to get the heart of God for this lost world. I want you to notice, first of all, the pursuit of the shepherd. The Bible says, "What man among you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it." Now the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now the him in Isaiah 53:6 is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He took our sin upon himself. He bore our sin and transgression on the cross. But it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Jesus sees us as the lost flock. And the pursuit of the shepherd is seen in three facets in verse 4. First of all, we see it in the fact that he's willing to leave the 99. No shepherd ever rescues a lamb from his living room. No church ever reaches their community from this room. All of us must be willing to leave something. We might leave off an extracurricular or a class or just sitting on the couch or whatever it might be, but no one is ever rescued unless someone is willing to leave their comfortable place. And in this case, the shepherd would leave the 99 in the fold, and then he would go out into the wilderness. He would face the dangers, if you will, of that wilderness to reach that one that was lost. Let me just remind you, church, tonight, and I know some folks get tired of it. I get tired. You get tired. I know that sometimes we think, boy, you know, here we go again. But can I just remind you that biblically there has always been a cost to being a disciple of Jesus Christ? You say, Pastor, you're telling me I got to get off the couch to find someone who's lost? Let me tell you what Jesus says, okay? How does Jesus describe the Christian life? Luke 14, 26. Listen, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. How many of you agree that's radical? And he does not want you to hate your family. When you study this out, this is what it means, that your love for Jesus is so strong that compared to other loves and relationships, it could seem like hate. And he says, if you're going to follow me, you've got to love me that much. You've got to love me with your whole heart. And in fact, in Luke 14, 27, it says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You see, folks, we want the crown, but we don't want the cross. And we want the blessings, but we don't want the burden. And I'm just saying, there's no blessedness in the church unless we're willing to bear the burden of Jesus. And his burden is lost souls. And it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so in order to reach others, we may have to leave a desk or a couch or a well-laid plan. And from time to time, either this Thursday or Saturday, for example, be willing to go out where lost people are. So the shepherd must be willing to leave his comfort zone. And then notice, secondly, he must go. It says, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go. Now that's the first word of the Great Commission, isn't it? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go find somebody that needs Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 19, as the angel came, the apostles were placed in prison, but an angel came to them in Acts 5, 19. And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak all the words of life to the people. In other words, the angel said to the apostles, okay, you're out of prison. Go, use your freedom to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about our missions conference. We've worked several hours on that this week, and we have about 25 or 30 missionaries coming in. And these are people that have given their lives, and they'll be here in a few weeks. And we have a great conference planned, and they're willing to go. And yes, we want to be willing to send, but we don't ever want to be a church that gives money to missionaries to salve our conscience about the fact that we don't tell people about Jesus Christ, right? So the shepherd's willing to leave and the shepherd's willing to go. But then notice, thirdly, it says he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes after that which is lost. We must leave, we must go, and we must seek these people. Now, I serve in a full-time ministry capacity, and I'm very well aware of that. I'm surrounded by Christians all the time. I have to really leave my office to go find sinners. Well, I can go down the hallway and find Brother Rule or some of these guys, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about those saved sinners. I'm talking about lost sinners. I got to get out of here. I got to go find them somewhere. Some of you are so lucky. You are not lucky. Some of you are so blessed. You're surrounded by lost sinners. And that's the way you should look at it. Lord, make my workplace a mission field. I know there's protocols, and we understand all these things. But you know, a prayerful, burdened soul winner is going to find that moment because he's looking for it. He's seeking it. He's leaving. He's going after, and he's seeking that lost one. This is my commandment, John 15, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And so the pursuit of the shepherd, leave, go, and seek. Notice the plan of the shepherd in verse 4. What is the plan of the shepherd? Is it just to go out in the wilderness for a while? No, it says in verse 4 these words, and go after that which is lost until he find it. Now here's my challenge. We're going to give you this Thursday and this Saturday a little red book. Everyone's going to get one. It's a little prospect book to write down the names of people we find. And in fact, we're going to have a special dinner later on in the year for everyone that finds 10 people and will communicate with them at least 5 times. I want to have a special dinner with those. We don't know how many of those will get saved, but I want to reward the diligence of literally living out this passage, looking for people until we find them. And the shepherd would find the lost sheep. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And here we see that the shepherd's going to look until he finds it. Now, this is what I believe. If I look for lost people, and if I really stay after it, I'm going to find them. Not everybody in Lancaster saved. But, you know, honestly, sometimes because we're busy, we just kind of go through our schedule and we're pushing the cart at Albertsons and we're getting a haircut and we're doing all our to-do lists and we're not literally looking and thinking, Lord, show me someone that I can be used of you to bring them to salvation. And if we'll have that heart of the shepherd, we won't just go do our errands, but there will be a purpose in every single errand. It's so true. To seek until he find. And we've got to be careful not to make excuses. Someone says, I don't have the gift of gab, or it's hard to talk about God, and all these things. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11:4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, if all we do is just look for the excuse, we'll never sow the seed. It cannot be about the culture. It cannot be about the lack of receptivity. We must say, I'm going to sow that seed, and the Lord will bring the harvest. So he's going to go find the lost sheep. And then you know what else he's going to do? He's going to bear the burden of the lost sheep. Look at verse 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. How many of you are thankful tonight that Jesus is a burden bearer? You know, there's so many people that, you know, they're going through the burdens of life. How many people that you work with and they're going through marriage problems? How many people are going through health problems? How many people are struggling raising their kids? How many people that you work with don't even know there's teenagers like this in the world today? And they're trying to figure out their family life. And the wonderful thing is that when Jesus finds someone and when they're saved, he wants to carry them. He wants to help them with their burden. You see, a lamb that's been out in the world is going to have a lot of, you know, little scars and hurts and difficulties. And Jesus wants to help them through that. So the pursuit of the shepherd, he says, I'm going to leave the 99. I'm going to go out and seek until I find. And then he says, my plan is that I'll be able to lift them up and carry them through. And that's what so many of us have experienced. And that's what others need to know as well. But then notice finally tonight, the proclamation of the shepherd. Notice the proclamation of the shepherd, verse 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. What's the last word say?
Rejoicing.
Rejoicing. Let's say it again. And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders. And he what?
Rejoicing.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. The happiest churches in the United States of America are soul-winning churches. The happiest churches. I'm telling you, folks, if you were in the 11 o'clock service and watched that couple get baptized and watched that big old guy who looked like he's about 6'5", and I mean, there was joy all over him when his wife got baptized this morning. I mean, you could just see it. And I thought, that is awesome. That's what a soul-winning church gets to see. Here's a man who was on his way to hell. His wife was on her way to hell. And who knows what kind of challenges they had. And now they have Jesus, and now they're getting baptized. I mean, he was clapping for his own wife to get baptized. Boy, that type of thing blesses your heart. And that's what it tells us. When Jesus finds someone who's lost, he rejoices. Oh, folks, you want to get the joy back in your Christian life? If you could invite one person to Jesus, if you could have a guest who comes forward and trusts Christ as Savior, everything gets back in perspective, my friends. The shepherd rejoices, the Bible says. When he found it, he layeth on his shoulders, and he rejoices. Oh, it's such a blessing to see when God brings a sinner home. But then notice, secondly, the friends will rejoice. Look at verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends. By the way, your best friends are people that are glad when people get saved. I mean, you got your motorcycle friends and your dune buggy friends and you got your, you know, whatever friends. But your best friends are the ones that you can say, hey, someone got saved. And you can rejoice with them about spiritual things. Listen, anybody can talk about the Dodgers or the Raiders or the 49ers. But it takes somebody who loves Jesus to understand when someone else got saved. Amen. That's the kind of friend that you want to have. My brothers and I, we text almost every Sunday, and lots of preachers text me about what's going on at their church. And you know what we always talk about when we text is not even the attendance of the church, but how many got saved today? Because that's the joy of the ministry, seeing people come to Christ as Savior. And it says here that these friends, look at that in verse 6, he calleth his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me. I have found my sheep, which was lost. Oh, Psalm 126 and verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I'm going to tell you, the most mopey, discouraged, cranky person in the church is the person that doesn't care for souls, that hasn't ever tried to get someone saved. But I'm telling you, the happiest Christians that come with rejoicing, the ones that are praying, Lord, help the pastor. Help him not to bomb today. Help him to say something good. I got a friend here that needs to get saved. Remember years ago we had Dr. Goetz for our first revival meeting, and he stood up, and I'd tried so hard to get so many people to come to church to hear him. And his very first message was on tithing. And I would have covered my eyes. And I was young. I was ignorant. I'm still learning, but I mean really was still learning. And I thought, I invited all these lost people, and he's preaching about tithing. They're never going to come back. And I'll never forget Dennis and Janet DePrater walking the aisle and getting saved. And I learned that day the power of the Word of God. God knew what he was doing. And they were here this morning and serving God 32 years later, you see. God can do such wonderful, wonderful things. And I'm just simply saying, your friends that are good friends, you're going to rejoice with them over the teens in your class that got saved or a young couple that got saved. And you're going to rejoice. The shepherd rejoices. The friend rejoices. But as we close tonight, look at verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, hey, listen to this now. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Isn't that good? Oh, listen, you say, what's heaven like? I'll tell you this, there's joy in heaven. And I want you to understand that, and I don't know what team won today, we'll just say the 49ers won, and I want you to understand this, that up in heaven, when the 49ers have a last-minute touchdown pass thrown, and they win the game, and thousands of people are going, wow, that's great. Oh, and people are jumping up and down in their living room, so excited. Up in heaven, when the 49ers get a touchdown, the angels go, but up in heaven, when a little fifth grade bus rider whose dad was hung over this morning and whose mom was who knows where, and he got on the bus and he came to Lancaster Baptist Church, and somebody told him that Jesus loves him and that he could be saved and told him how to be saved. And when that little boy prays and asks Jesus Christ as Savior, up in heaven they strike up the band and they rejoice and they get excited. And I just propose to you that these next several weeks, we ought to go ahead and start getting excited about what they're excited about up in heaven. Let's not wait to get up there. Let's have a little heaven on earth and be excited every time somebody gets saved. Amen. You see, the shepherd rejoiced. And your good friends will rejoice. And all of heaven's going to rejoice when people come to know Christ as Savior. Jesus left heaven's glory for all of us. And Jesus says to us, the Father sent me here. I'm about ready to go back. But even as the Father sent me, so send I you. I want to encourage you. We have different nights and opportunities and outreach events. But if I could say this tonight, besides all of that, let's have the heart of the shepherd this fall. Let's say, Lord, give me your heart for this world. Help me not to look at the world in the way the unsaved see it, but help me to see it the way you see it. The pursuit of the shepherd. He left his comfort zone and he went out. And the purpose of this shepherd and his plan was to go until he found one. And then we see the proclamation of the shepherd. Rejoice with me. He that was lost has now been found. Do you think you could find one lost person this fall? Someone that you stay in touch with and text and write and maybe visit? Could you envision in your mind with me tonight that that one lost person that you know and meet would perhaps be saved in your home? Or could you envision her walking down an aisle and shaking the hands of one of the pastor and trusting Christ as Savior? And would that not bring great rejoicing to your heart in these upcoming weeks? Then let's pray to God that that would be true in all of our lives.